Hello and good afternoon. Today is Monday, May 14th, and this is the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny Massana. We're going to go over a few things today. The ECC tournament just concluded. The high school playoffs is under full swing today. A lot of action going on. But first, I just want to say this episode is sponsored by X Factor Meals. They're a Long Island-based company offering meal prep and sports-specific nutrition for athletes of all levels. I'm somebody that uses them. I order them, comes to my office every week. It's really convenient for me since I'm always on the go. They deliver it right to the office and highly recommend it. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at X Factor Meals. Alrighty, so let's jump into it. I don't want to toot my own horn, but you know what? I'm going to toot my own horn. I was correct about Stack winning, and that's a week after I was correct about St. Joe's winning the tournament. So maybe there's something to these predictions. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you watch enough baseball and you're correct. But this one was not nearly as climatic as the week before. St. Joseph's, you know, going extra innings and the RBI hit from Gerrick Montoro in the 11th inning the week before against Merch Marines. This was a little different. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas was clearly the better team. You know, they swept Molloy four games during the regular season. They went to the World Series last year. They're a complete team. You know, they have the best pitcher in the conference. They have the best hitter in the conference. And they really showed their depth this weekend. Really, the only scare that was put into them was in game one. You know, Bridgeport, who was playing on emotion. Obviously, they had the traumatic loss of a former player last week, so a lot of those kids were playing with emotion, and that can get you, you know, that can get you far in the game. But you know, when you're going up against a pitcher like Frank Moscatello, who has a chance to get drafted this year, at some point you have to get that big RBI hit, and you know, they weren't able to do that. They did lead early on in this game. Moscatello struggled somewhat with his command. He had five walks, but you never got the sense that he lost it. You know, he did struggle with the command. He walked the guys, but, you know, they weren't able to get that big hit against some St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, they just get the job done when they need to do it. So they end up winning that game. You know, Chris Pennell came in for the two-inning save. Moscatello gets the win in the game. So the next game was number two, Molloy, versus number three, LIU Post, and that was the second time this year I got to watch James Varela. I watched him in at the USA Baseball Complex back in March when he beat Franklin Pierce, and this was the same. You know, he's going against another top lineup. You know, Molloy had five guys with over 50 hits, and you got Angelo Nevada leading the way with a .397 average. But Varela is in the midst of one of those remarkable seasons where, you know, he had one loss this year. But over 100 strikeouts on the season, 110 now. He's over 100 innings. He basically just filled in for Jake DeCarli, who was the ace last year and for the three previous years. And Varela was that stopper. And thank God for him, because Post struggled with their pitching outside of him for much of the season. But he has been their most valuable player this year, bar none. Iglesias had the big three-run double in the second inning, and that was the only threat of the game, really. You know, Kevin Hiss is in the midst of a great season, the senior. They got to him early on. They got four runs in that inning. Dave Brehm, RBI single to left field. Mike Manzione hit a double off the top of the wall. Big error with Zach Fritz at the plate. Scored a run, and then Iglesias clears the bases there with the big double. He looped it over the third baseman's head, went down the line. He got thrown out going to third, but the damage was done after that. His settled in, but Varela just didn't give them anything. Another shutout. Amazing thing was in the ninth inning, it looked like they might have gone too long with Varela. You know, he gives up a leadoff single to Elijah Leardom. Sean Hogan walks. McCarthy hits one. Jake McCarthy hits a single to the left side. Bases loaded, nobody out. and he gets Mike Wall to strike out on a nasty curveball. Nick Marino's same thing, strike out, curveball in the dirt, and then Jake Saltzman flies out to the right field to end the ball game. So at that point, Post was sitting pretty. Malloy had to come up big, but they did. You know, Malloy had a great offense. Timmy Panetta ends up getting the win to send them on to championship day. They wind up facing St. Thomas Aquinas again. And in that championship game, like I said, you just got the sense that St. Thomas Aquinas was the better team and that they would find the way. And they did. But Malloy did have the lead early on in that game. They had Anthony Catanella on the mound, who struggled this season, but it seemed like everything was going his way. He was getting in and out of trouble. He was throwing, he was getting big strikeouts when he needed it. Tyler Patain, the St. Sachem North grad, was equal to the task, even though they fell behind. Jacob McCarthy had the big RBI hit. They wind up coming back in the late innings. Finally they got a rally going. Nick Lucchese gets an RBI hit to left field. Joey Pena, who has been just an unbelievable force in the middle of their lineup this year, table setter, over 70 hits, all-time program leader. He doesn't get a hit, but he does draw a big walk on a borderline 3-2 pitch. And then Giovanni Ding Kong follows. It's a four, ground ball to shortstop. They're unable to double him up. That gives them the lead. And that was all they needed. Tyler Patain went back out. Scoreless 6th and 7th inning. And then Chris Pennell comes in the 8th and throws up a scoreless 8th and 9th inning. So St. Thomas Aquinas wins the ECC tournament. They will be headed up to play at Pace. Even though Pace isn't in it, they are. It's at their stadium. New Haven is the number one seed. And St. Thomas Aquinas will be looking to go back to the College World Series yet again this year. They've established themselves as one of the premier Division II programs in the country, and arguably the best in the Northeast over here. So, all right, so let's get into the Suffolk County playoffs, which start today. There's a lot of exciting games going on. I'll be at Newfield to watch Connectquot, number 9 Connectquot at number 8 Newfield. Newfield obviously upset that they got a number 8 seed. You know, you could debate that they deserved a little bit better, but, you know, it really does go by your wins against playoff opponents. It's a major factor in it, and, you know, they struggled in some of those bigger games against their adversaries, West Islip and North Babylon. So, let's see. Our audience, I put up the poll today, 379 votes with 1 hour left. 51-49 in favor of Connectquot. It's going to be a great game. That's why I want to be there. Obviously, Bobby Vath, the Division I pitcher. Joe Savino, the starter, junior right-handed pitcher for Connectquot. Watched him earlier this year against Comac in the game that Tim McHugh hit the big grand slam. He's a Division I arm, and Connectquot is a very tough team. They had 13 wins. Newfield's got 15. Excuse me. It's going to be Newfield's first playoff game since 2006. So some of these kids that, you know, freshman and sophomore on the team, like a Dylan Johnson, you know, they were little kids when last time Newfield was a force like this. And it's going to be an exciting game. Bobby Vath, I spoke about him a lot in the preseason. He's a kid that I watched at Neil Heaton's, and he just has that look. You know, he wants to finish what he started this year, and I have no doubt that he's going to throw up a good game. But the difference is that in this environment, it's not just who the starting pitcher is. A lot of it is going to be predicated on can they do the small things against Connectquot. Connectquot is a young team, but they're a battle-tested team because a lot of these kids have been exposed to high-end baseball for some time now. So I don't think that the moment is too big for any of them. If I had to guess, I would give the slight advantage to Connectquot in this game. I think that their offense is superior. I think they play overall a little better brand of baseball. Obviously, Newfield, the advantage that they have is that most of their best players are seniors, but they also haven't been in the playoffs. So there's that in my mind, kind of gets negated by the fact that they don't have the playoff experience. Some of the Kanekwa kids were already on varsity last year. You know, Nick Unger, the first baseman, he was on a playoff team last year. So it's not like they are new to the concept of big games. So I'll give the slight edge in this game. Of course, the slightest of edges I will give to Kanekwa to win this game. Another big game, Ward Melville at Sachem East. Out of our 324 votes, 64% said Ward Melville. This is going to be another tough one, obviously. They're very familiar with them, with each other, League One rivals. I would also be inclined to give the advantage to Ward Melville, but you got to keep in mind that this is a matchup early on in the year. It was same pitching matchup, Chris Buehler against Roman DeRoche. DeRoche, of course, is one of the top players in the 2019 class. The Blue Chip Prospects just announced, released their rankings. They had him at number two. Chris Buehler, though, is a tough customer. He had a great season this year. When these guys went toe-to-toe earlier in the year, Sachem East won 1-0 on a I'm not sure how the run came in, but I know how the last run was prevented. Dan Palermo threw out runner at the plate to end the ballgame at Baseball Heaven. So if that's any indication, it's going to be another low-scoring, intense game. I do give the advantage toward Melville in this ballgame, though. Another big one is Comac and Sachem North. Not positive who Comac's pitching, whether it's Cardinal or Jake Krasinski, but either way, you know, it's a tough lefty that both had really good seasons. Division I kids, Cardinal's going to Hofstra. Krasinski's getting interest all over the place, but he's another lefty, low to mid-80s, changeup and command and tough mentality. He's a kid that had a long winning streak dating back to summer ball. His coach told me he had something like a 20-game win streak entering the season, and this year I think he's only lost one time. So Comac is the number three seed going against Sachem North. Sachem's going to have Jack Gonzalez on the mound. He's got 6 wins this year. 2 wins last week that clinched them a playoff spot. Gonzalez is going to St. Thomas Aquinas. Soft toss and lefty, but he's tough. He throws strikes. Great command of all his pitches. Mainly relies on his fastball and changeup. Changeup's really his out pitch. Sachem North got Kyle Olson, Ryan Sullivan in top of that order. Two kids that are very competitive that are having really good seasons. Kyle Olson going to Adelphi. But Comac, you got to give him the edge in this game because they had a superior season. They had 17 wins this year. Tim McHugh, like most of you guys know, is one of the top power hitters in the region. A possible first-round pick next year in the draft. James Cardinale. And Jake Krasinski, Travis Krasinski. It's one of those games where anything can happen, you know, in these settings. But, you know, you have to give, in my mind, you have to give the advantage to Comac in this game. I like them. Another big one, Suffolk County AA. Hills East and Longwood. Longwood definitely upset about their ranking. Look, you win the League One title. You know, you have a legitimate gripe if you're not a top 2 or 3 seed, and somehow they all the way down to 7. They'll be going against Hills East, and Hills East, in my mind, you have to throw Matt Hogan. You know, he's a potential draft pick, one of the best players on Long Island, and this is what money players do in these spots. You go up against a team like Longwood. I believe they faced each other in the 2016 postseason as well. So the teams are familiar with themselves with each other. The seniors, you know, a lot of the seniors were still on varsity as sophomores, so they are familiar with each other. Longwood had an amazing season. Madden Zyso and Jared Vanderhoof both nominated for the league MVPs. And also on that note, with the league MVPs, congratulations to the guys that were awarded. They're going to get plaques at our Access Invitational on May 29th at Hofstra, as we did last year with the Battle of the Border. You know, it'll be a nice event. The kids can get honored and, you know, acknowledged for the work that they put in this year. Just on a side note, though, to the people that emailed me that I missed out on players, you know, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. However, these were the products of the coaches in the league recommending players to me. So, you know, I'm not doubting that there's a lot of players that deserve to be on the list that might be scholarship players that have had a lot of success, but these are coming from the opponent. So that is not on me. I do try to aggregate it the best that I can, but a lot of it is coming purely from numbers and also from coaches. So that was what went into that voting. So Hills East and Longwood, this is a really tough one. I mean, if Hills East goes with Hogan, you know, they can beat anybody, obviously. Hogan is a tremendous pitcher, but Longwood had this remarkable season where they won a lot of close games. Their pitching staff of Danny Owens, Jared Vanderhoof, and John Homestock, all college-bound pitchers. They'll probably go with Danny Owens today, who had a pretty unbelievable season. Not a lot of people talk about him. He only won two games, but that was more of a product of tough luck. He had a 1.36 ERA. You know, Jared Vanderhoof, who had a slightly higher ERA at 1.81, was able to go 5-0 this year. So, you know, you kind of see the fickle nature of baseball, how you can have how a pitcher can do a lot of right, and it's still not good enough. You know, you have a 1.36 ERA, you probably should go undefeated in my mind. But League One is tough. You know, you're going to go up against aces on the game one of the series. So if you're facing a Roman DeRosa, you're facing a Max Nielsen, you know, you might lose 1-0. That's just the way it goes. So that's why when a kid does go 7-0 in League One, they do tend to get rewarded with a MVP of the league or a Carl Yastrzemski award. So that's that. Those are in my mind the biggest games in league out of Suffolk County Class AA today. We're also going to have Belmore and Garden City. Mike Connors will be covering that. And we will have coverage of Ward Melville, Sachem East with Julian will be there. So those are my picks for those games today. I'm just going to bring up the brackets here and go over the other games. Just bear with me for a moment here. Suffolk County Class A is also getting started today. A lot of good baseball all over the island, but in my mind, I thought the best matchups were coming out of Suffolk AA, just because of the star power, the high-end pitchers. That's really what attracts me to it. So also today, we have a number one Smithtown East versus Bayshore. That's obviously a good one, since Bayshore was the only team to beat, was the first team, rather, to beat Smithtown East. They also lost a second game the next week, but they were the first team to beat them, and they were 11-0. We'll likely see Michael Storms on the mound today. You know, they're two teams that are familiar with themselves in the same league, but obviously the number one seed is going to be the favorite. So I expect the Bulls to take care of business today. Eastport South Manor and Lindenhurst, that's a 13-4 matchup. Eastport South Manor will probably have Ryan Ferran on the mound, who won our League 5 MVP voting. Eastport South Manor, the co-league champs with Hills West. Ryan Ferran, outstanding pitcher, had an unbelievable season. In my mind, it's going to be hard to envision him losing. Now, Lindenhurst had a nice season, but I think Eastport's ESM is the pick in that game. Also, number 5 versus 12, North Babylon, Hills West. You got two good teams, Hills West, League 5, North Bab, League 4. We'll most likely see Brian Prim on the mound for North Babylon. Hills West, not sure who they're going to go with today. With that being said, it's hard to make a pick on that. But Hills West did have the superior record, but North Babylon has pretty high octane offense. So I'll just go with the upset. Let's go with North Babylon in that game. West Islip against Walt Whitman. 2-18, West Islip averaging 10 runs a game. You know, Anthony Ippolito, Jake Gersio, just unbelievable offense this year. Michael Adana, pitching staff, having a great year. Bobby DiCapua, you got to go at West Islip in that game. Ward Melville we went over, Commack we went over, and Longwood we went over. All right, so that is Suffolk County Double A, and I promised I would give my picks. I'm going to stick with what's going. I've been riding a hot streak. I got the Skyline in the ECC, correct? I will say I will go with my preseason pick and go with my gut that Ward Melville is going to get hot. They are the number 7 seed, but that doesn't change my opinion one bit. You know, they have the pitching staff. They're battle-tested. Brady and Logan Duran, the two brothers, absolutely phenomenal seasons. Both hit over 400. Logan going to George Washington, one of the best shortstops on Long Island. Very underrated kid. You know, he's leading that offensive attack with Max Nielsen. Kyle Rafferty, they've had an outstanding season. And I just like their brand of baseball. They play defense. They steal bases. Obviously, well-coached. Lou led them to the 2013 Long Island Championship in there. And there's a lot of similarities with this team. You know, you got Max, Chris Buehler, Matt DiGennaro, the great closer, and Drake Eggleston, a hard-throwing kid. That is my pick for the Suffolk County Class AA Championship. And I would say single A, but I haven't gotten a chance as much to watch those guys. You know, Shoreham's going in as the number 1 pick. They're the reigning champs. I did see them last week, but they lost to Mount Sinai, so it's tough to really get a read. You know, when you see a team one time and they lose, but obviously they're doing something right. You know, they're the number 1 seed. But a team that I will give you as the sleeper in that is Bayport Blue Point. They returned a lot of their seniors from last year. A lot of those kids are hungry after losing to Shoreham Wading River. Coach Masio is one of the best coaches on Long Island. Has won two state championships, rather, out of League 7 Class A. And I think they might surprise. They are my pick to win Suffolk A, if you put a gun to my head. So that's all the time that we have for the podcast this week. I am Vinny Masana. Thanks for tuning in.